Stand and open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. Starting with verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of a sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down to him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take the bow and the arrows. And he took unto him the bow and the arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, Put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. And then he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him. And so thou should have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria, till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Our Heavenly Father, You have given us a command. It is to take the gospel into all the world. And Lord, I am afraid that we have only smitten thrice. Lord, help me this morning. Give me an unction. Allow the Holy Spirit to let us see where we fail. And how by faith You can give us the success that is needed so badly. We ask this in Your name. Amen. You may be seated. In our text this morning, we're at a death scene. A death scene of a great man of God, Elisha. He is probably about 90 years of age. And there is the wicked king who has not, Joash, who has not served God. He has served Baal. He wants nothing to do with the God, Jehovah God of Almighty Heaven. He had turned his back against truth. But he has heard and he knows that Elisha is about ready to die. And here is a king who has no respect for the message of the Word of God. But upon hearing the death of the mighty man of God, he travels to his bedside. This is very unusual. Royalty is not going to go to a funeral. But not much less to one who serves God. But what spurred him to go is because he's seeing his kingdom being taken away piece by piece by the Assyrians. And so now he rushes to the side of the man of God. Here's the truth. Ungodly watch us until the day we die. And we need to live such a testimony that when there is a need in their life, there is someone they can go to and someone they have enough confidence in that they can get a hold of God. So this king makes his visit. And upon his visit, the man of God begins to bestow upon him and tell him the way of escape. Look at verse 14. Notice what this wicked king Joash says about the mighty man of God. Now Elisha was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died, and Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. This phrase only appears one other time in the Word of God. And it refers to the great prophet Elijah. And this phrase means, when it says that my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, is referring to a military chariot. It would be like our B-52 bombers. And he's saying, you know, the greatest strength that our nation really has is not our army, Elisha, it is you.
And if I lose you, I have no strength. That's a sad case when you have to depend on somebody else to be your strength. But he did realize where true strength comes from. It comes from God Almighty and nowhere else. See, he feels that once Elisha dies, there is no hope. Well, our hope is not in men. Our hope is in God Almighty. We see here that Elisha is willing to help this ungodly man out by giving him a promise that if he would take it by faith and receive it, God could work on his behalf. Notice what he says in verse 15. Elisha says unto the king, "Take the bow and the arrows." This king has got his back up against the wall. It seems like his world is falling apart. It seems that there is no answer. But I tell you, there is always an answer with God. He says, "Take the bow and the arrows." And look at verse 16. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thy hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, "Open that window eastward." And he opened it. And then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of the deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Athens until thou hast consumed them." He instructed the king to open the window. He did it. He instructed the king to take the bow. He did it. He instructed the king to take the arrow. He did it. He told him to take the barrel and shoot it out the window. He did it. He obeyed to his comfort. I am afraid, as independent Baptists, we obey only to our comfort zone. See, God wants us to live by faith. God, listen, we preach it to our people. Come on, come on, you can help me out. We tell our people to live by faith. Amen. But sometimes in our little office, with our books surrounding us and our e-swords and our quick verses, you know, we get so used to what God is doing that we've come to the place that we do not live by faith ourselves. He took the bow. He took the arrow. He obeyed. But he did not have enough faith to accept a complete victory. God has told us, and he has promised us victory. We say we believe that he will give us victory. How do you prove that you believe? It's by action. It's by taking the arrows and shooting them. Amen. The question is, did the king obey? Yes, he did. The problem is that he stopped way too soon. And I'm telling you, in our churches, we stop way too soon. Amen. Our victory is limited by the measure of our faith in an Almighty God. Joash had faith. He shot once. He shot twice. He shot three. And Elisha says, "The quiver is full." Amen. We limit God by our lack of faith and disobedience in trusting Him. And when we do that, victory stops. Amen. Every one of us in our ministry reach a plateau when we get to a certain area in which God wants to stretch our faith. I believe God gives each and every one of us the individuals that we need in our church to help us in our spiritual growth. And you've heard it said, all the churches are alike except the faces are different. A lot of preachers, when they start having a problem in their church with gossip or financial problems, they believe the answer to it is to switch churches. When you do that, all you're doing is just switching one yard for another. You're going to have this. Listen, every church has got a gossiper. Every church has got a fault finder. Every church has got someone that's going to cause you heartache. Come on. You're not going to find a perfect church. We know that. And they surely not going to find a perfect pastor. Come on. And I believe God has put us where we are so that we can learn to grow in faith. And our people need to see us grow in faith so that they are willing to stretch themselves. And a lot of churches are held back not because of the people. It's held back because of us. Amen. I don't want to preach that truth. You say, preacher, we're not fighting cities. No. But we are in a battle. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of darkness of this world. I'll tell you, the enemy is advancing, and it is getting darker, but it's no reason to throw up our hands and give up. Because we serve Him who is the light of the world, and He has promised us that we can have victory. It is time to pick up the bow. It is not time to lay it down. It is time to take the quiver and shoot every arrow we have. And trust by faith that God can give us the victory. Say, preacher, is there a way that we can get the gospel around the world? No, not without Him. We don't need more money. We do not need greater organization. All we need is greater faith in an almighty God, and it can be accomplished. But we tell our people that God can do it, but down deep, there is a seed of unbelief. Why did he pause? I believe there are several reasons the king paused. Why do we pause? I think we pause for a couple of reasons. Number one, we do not believe that we have the natural ability to do any more. It comes to giving the faith promise. It comes to giving to the next missionary. We take out our books and we go, I can't give anymore. Come on. I can't give anymore. I can't do anymore. My church has stagnated. Listen, we have stagnated because we've lost our faith and not using our faith in God. That's why we stagnated. Oh, wait, preacher, we can't take on any more missionaries. We just can't do anymore. Once you quit doing, you will start dying. Natural ability. I can't do anymore. Next, we're always sometimes too dependent on the fellow man. I can't do it, but Brother Webster, look at his church. He can do it. Right? I don't have giving people like he's got. I'm not in a growing community like he is. That's why he can give. I can't give, so let someone else do it. But God didn't tell someone else to do it. He told us to do it. I'll tell you another one. I think we're too soon contented. How many missionaries do you support? Oh, I saw 115 missionaries. What's your mission budget? Oh, man, I just want you to know we reached 50,000 or 100,000. We need to quit comparing ourselves to everybody else. Amen. And each church needs to do what God wants them to do. You don't need to conform to what I do in my church, and I don't need to conform to what you do in your church. I need to conform what God tells me to do in my local assembly. And you keep your eyes off mine and your nose out of my business. Because when I stand before God, He's calling me an account for Southside Baptist Tabernacle. Thank God I only have one church to be accountable for. We have none of us ever come to the place to say we've done good enough that it's finished. And the basic reason we quit and lay down the bow and don't shoot the arrows is our unbelief. What are the results of us not shooting our arrows? you will suffer the consequence as a pastor yourself. Your faith doesn't grow. You're not stretched. You don't grow in your relationship to Christ. And second, there is a consequence on the people that are members of your congregation. I was going to wait till the end of the sermon, but I'm going to give this now. He mentioned in the introduction that we bought 30 acres years ago. We bought it over 30 years ago with the hope of moving out to a brand new piece of property, which is now a booming area of Ypsilanti. Ypsi is booming anyways. I tried everything as pastor, and since I became pastor in 80, to try to get us to that new piece of property. I had plan A, B, C, D, and Z. I had them all. I'd meet with the deacons. My deacon, I had one of the deacons come to me and say, Rich, one of the deacons looked at me. If I mention a name, you know who it was. And he said, Pastor, we love you. But don't show us another plan until we're really going to do something. That's the truth. I say, you know, if we would do this, we could do that. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put the church building up for sale. That'll work. We put the church building up for sale for 2 years. Nothing. People pray fast. Tell God we got to sell this building. Let's get on with this thing. No show. The real estate man calls me and says, you know, we've been listening to this for 2 years. We don't have one bite. I think we need to just take it off the... I said, okay. So then we had a missions conference. And I brought in two missionaries and they began to preach. I did not like the preaching. Because you know what they were preaching? Double your faith promise. Double what you're giving the missions. Double what you give them. Every sermon was double, 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 double. And I'm saying double. I'm trying to build a building out here, and you want me to double the faith promise? If I do that, we're all going to starve. So one of the missionaries said, came up to me and said, I know you're not really enjoying the messages. I said, yeah, quite obvious. He said, I'm going to fly and leave early. I said, oh, great, great, great. I'll let the other missionary handle the conference for you on Sunday morning. I said, oh, great. That Sunday morning, my people grabbed the truth that God's heartbeat is the lost world. And that Sunday morning, they doubled their faith promise. That next Monday, I receive a phone call that somebody wants to buy my church building. That Friday, he came and saw the building and turned around and gave us a deposit. And within a year and a half, with my people working and building the building themselves, it stands today erected on 30 acres of property on a main intersection. And every time we walk in that building, I tell my people, this building is here for one reason and one reason only, missions. And if you ever, ever lose your heart to give, God could take this whole thing away. So there was a time this message really applied to me. I shot one, I shot two, I shot three, and I said, I cannot do anymore. And God said, reach in the quiver, boy. Amen. And I said, God, I can't. I don't see an answer. I don't see a way out. If we give more, there's no way we'll ever get out of the 30 acres. God, don't you understand? There's no way this can be done. He said, trust me, son. Grab the arrow and let her fly. And I grabbed the arrow and I let her fly. And I stand here today telling you, it's all about God. It has nothing to do with us. It's not about us. It's Him and it's faith in an almighty God. And we as Baptists need to return to the faith of our fathers.